And good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And, oh, it's been a beautiful week here. We, of course, had a foot of snow last weekend, but that's springtime in the Rockies, and we're thankful for that. But as of now, Thursday, May 5th, hey, the snow is melted, the grass is greening up, the calves are skipping about the grassy meadows like calves from the stall, just like the scripture says, and praise ye the Lord. God is good, you know that? He truly is. Well, we say welcome here to the Thursday night program. We call it 7x70. Of course, that comes from, that has to do with some scripture verses in Matthew when Jesus is telling the apostle how many times he should forgive his brother. Don't know that we'll really get into that portion tonight. Not really forgiveness, but that is the, that we usually talk about those type things. Thought we'd talk a little bit about some current events that are going on. You know, boy, here recently, not really going to, well, let's go to the word of, to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer first before we get ahead of ourselves. And I find myself, I do that sometimes. I have something to do in the morning, and before you know, it's a busy morning, and this is going on, and that's going on, and it's like, wait a minute, I haven't prayed yet. Usually it goes a lot better after we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. So join me, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, we do. We come to you in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we do give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day, for this opportunity to be here on the radio tonight to share your word with your people, Lord, to have fellowship with them, to have fellowship with you. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for it. We know that it's because you love us that you allow this to happen. Father, thank you for calling us out of the darkness of the world. And Lord, we know your word condemns the world for their sinful ways, Lord, and such were some of us. But we were washed, but we changed, we repented, and were baptized and came out of that darkness. And Lord, help all that we do here at the ministry and all those that hear the broadcast, Lord, all that call themselves by your name, Christians. Lord, help us all remember that great commission that we are to take this gospel message to all creation, to all the world, Lord, because the world so desperately needs it. Lord, it needs it here in Wyoming and Colorado and Florida and the residents of Georgia and California and New York and everywhere, Lord, all over the states and all over the world. They need your word. They need that gospel. Lord, we pray for a revival in the land, a returning to you. A recognition, Lord, of the sin that is just so permeates so many people's lives, Lord, that is just so evident in the land today. That, Lord, it is just habit among the people and they don't even know it. So, Lord, we pray for a revival. Lord, as we said earlier, a returning, Lord, a returning to you. Help us to open your people's eyes, Lord, to let them see what is pleasing to you, Lord, and to see what is displeasing to you. And Lord, let them have their heart of stone, Lord. Let that heart of stone be broken. And Father, we pray, as was in last month's prayer, for that heart of flesh to once again come upon your people, that they would see, Lord, with their eyes, that they wouldn't be blinded to the sins and the abominations that are all around them. And that, Lord, that they would remember you and return to you. That's our prayer, Lord. That's my request and all that we do here. Lord, I pray your blessings on your people. Bless, guide, and direct them. And Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good time of fellowship. And again, let this broadcast glorify you and edify your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, we hope you're reading your Bible. We have the May 2016 Bible reading plan, of course, up at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And we encourage you here on these broadcasts to read your Bible and remind you that we have some tools available to help you do that. And no, we don't sell them for $29.95 plus shipping and handling and excise fees. No, we just provide them for you to the best of our ability. And so that Bible reading plan is on the website. We'd be glad to print one and send it to you. We do that with a lot of the prisoners on the prison ministry that we have. We print out the monthly calendars, and those that are getting newsletters that are incarcerated and part of your prison ministry, we send them the printed out monthly Bible reading plans. And when they correspond with us and we send the Bible law course or the books and materials that we send into the prisons, we do that because they don't usually have internet access. And so we'd be glad to do that. If you don't have internet access, we can send you the Bible reading plan. And you know, if you're keeping up with it, the Bible reading plan for today, May 5th, is Luke 23, the first half, and it's Christ before Pilate. And, you know, you read about it in Matthew, you read about it in Mark, you read about it here in Luke, and, you know, the same story, but from a different perspective. And I encourage you to do that very thing. Read through these scriptures. See what it was like. This is, of course, leading up to the Gospel of Luke here, the crucifixion of Christ, a foundational part of Christianity. His death, yes. Also is his resurrection. But there's things in here. There's things in here that, well, you'll find those hidden gems if you'll read. If you'll read, we encourage you to do that. And not going to read in Luke today. We may get there. I've got some notes here. I wanted to talk to you about some current events that are going on. One of the most current events just saw yesterday evening. I guess presidential hopeful Cruz has backed out of the race, and I just saw it on a headline on an email. But so it looks like the Republican nominee will be Trump, and it looks like it'll be Trump versus Hilarious. So we'll see how that goes. You know, we stand on no king but Jesus. We do. We understand, and our pastor taught us that in days of old, that's where our forefathers went wrong, is when they went to Samuel and they said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. We don't want to be as special as we are. We just want to be like everybody else. And, you know, God, through the prophet Samuel, warned them what was going to happen. And our forefathers, yours and mine, said, well, no, we don't care. Just give us a king. And, you know, that really just was one of the downfalls, the beginning of the downfall of the house of Israel, the house of Jacob, the 12 tribes. It truly was. But it's not too late. It's not too late to return. Now, you know, we've had some conversations. It sure seems that it's quite evident that Trump is a better business person than Hilarious is. And so from a business perspective, well, we'll see what happens. How about that? Certainly not making any speculations. I kind of tend to agree with what the pastor put out. There's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or Independent. There's really not. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so we encourage you to not lose hope, to read your Bible, to see that what is happening today has happened before, that it truly is nothing new under the sun. Okay? But you have to be like the days of Elijah. And we've just read that in our Bible reading plans. Choose you this day. If Baal be Baal, and those that serve him, and if you're going to serve him as God, then serve him. But if the Lord is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is God, then serve him. And you know, many times today when that gets put out, it's just like it was in the days of Elijah. The people didn't answer him a word then. And so many times, that's how it is now. We'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see. You know, this deal with Target, well, there's over 1 million people that aren't waiting and seeing. They've at least signed the petition that they're not going to shop at Target anymore. I didn't sign the petition, but hey, I'm not shopping there anymore. And I sent an email out to my friends and family and said, if you do, you're aiding and abetting the enemy. You are aiding and abetting those that promote sin, that are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty and saying, we are part of the tares also. Make sure you recognize us. We're the tare group. So if that's where you want to spend your money, and you have a choice, you don't have to shop there, then you are aiding and abetting the enemy, the known enemy, the enemy that puts it in your face and says, we will support these cross-dressers, these confused, these transgenders, these perverts. We will support those. That's what Target is saying. And so choose you this day, remnant. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Well, some other headlines that I wanted to talk about tonight that I don't know, and I'm hoping to bring them on a Sunday morning here this month before we run out of the month, and that is the Zika outbreak. And you might say, Zika, what is that? Well, Zika is a disease that is, they're saying it's transmitted by mosquitoes, this Andes mosquito, but it's also being transmitted in other ways as well. And it's been mainly down in South America, Central America, but it's not just, you know, just like the Central Americans aren't just in Central America, and the Mexicans aren't just in Mexico, and the Latinos aren't just in Latin America. Well, the Zika Brazilian disease is not just in South America. Hartford, Connecticut reported a Connecticut woman had traveled to Central America and became pregnant while there and has come back diagnosed with the Zika virus after she returned back. And so, again, the virus is usually spread through the bite of this Aedes mosquito, very dangerous for pregnant women because it can cause birth defects and it can cause miscarriages. And men can also get infected with the disease, and then they can both catch it and transmit the virus through sexual activity. And, you know, we're just getting into the summer here. Now, in the southern hemisphere, the summer is ending, right, because it's kind of flip-flop down there. And so they have seen more cases recently, but it's just... they're just starting to see, the CDC is reporting here in the States, and that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, is it's not just down in South America. And, you know, God is not mocked. God our pastor used to say, you know, God hasn't played his plague card yet. But, you know, God gives us plenty of warning, plenty of opportunity to repent and to return to him before it's too late. And so I think he's showing us this down in South America. Doctors there are seeing a surge in this, also not only in this Zika, but they're seeing these newborns that are born that their head doesn't develop, their skull, their head does not develop, and their head is anywhere from 20 to 30% smaller than normal, and it causes neurological problems, brain problems, developmental problems as well as that. They're also seeing a surge in another rare syndrome known as Guillain-Barré disease, which can lead to paralysis, and they're linking Zika to that. And recently they have confirmed down in Brazil, got an article here from, who's this one from? This is Fox News Latino. Had some others from CBS News in here that I saw. NBC News, sorry, regarding this same thing, linking Zika to birth defects. And but right now, Brazil is confirming over 2,800 cases of Zika in pregnant women down there now. And you may say, well, I'm not going to Brazil. I'm not going down there. Well, it's coming here. You have people like this woman in Connecticut that's traveled several states. And we did report it, a month or so ago on a scriptural review of the news on Sunday morning at church. We did report a the several states that have reported outbreaks of Zika, not just one person, but sometimes families, and more than one state. And now they you may say, well, we're spraying it, and maybe you've seen some of the pictures of these. They look like the old Ghostbusters. They're these, you can't tell who they are, but they've got these boots on and these chemical suits, Tyvek and whatnot, and big masks, and they've got big tanks on their back and bazooka looking sprayers. And it looks like, you know, man, they're really out there just spraying. And they are. They have all but eliminated that Aedes mosquito in Brazil. And that's the carrier, the number one carrier for this Zika. But to do it, and guess what those guys are still spraying? DDT. And I don't know what DDT stands for, but it's bad stuff when it comes to me and you and little baby eagle's eggs, okay? It's tough on mosquitoes. Now, we spray Malathion, a percentage of a Malathion blend when they spray for mosquitoes here in the Laramie Valley and in most of the communities around this country, because that in the percentages in that they spray have been found to not really be that harmful to fish and to frogs and to wildlife and to bees and things like that. And I can attest to that. We have neighbors that have bees. We have a wild beehive and an old cottonwood tree right here on the radio ranch. And it's been vibrant and active for about 3 years. I tell you, I'd sure like to get a honeybee super out there and maybe get that hive moved into a super. We'd have some beehives and some ranch honey. I'd sure like to do that. Maybe this summer we'll get that done. But they spray the Malathion blend here, and you know, the bees are still here, the frogs are still here, and but it's a little different down there in Brazil. They're spraying heavy with that DDT because Rio is down there, and guess what's coming up? Summer Olympics. The Summer Olympics down there in Rio, and there's supposed to be tens of thousands of people visiting. And so if you think it's not a real big deal, Zika, it's not. You know, there's just a few people down there. It's not much. Hey, Canada's got it. Canada's reporting it being transmitted sexually. They're keeping track of so many people up there with that. And so it's coming. There was a man in Puerto Rico that died last week of it, of complications from it, because it is a neurological type of disease. It's here, folks. It's here. And so this pregnant woman from Connecticut we told you about earlier, that's the third Connecticut resident to be diagnosed with it. And the others are a woman and a man, not related. And so we are, you know, we are seeing the defense is protect yourself from mosquito bites. Really? Really? That's what we're supposed to do? Protect ourselves from mosquito bites. Got a note here from NBC News talking about how Zika is starting to spread in the U.S. And the country's not ready for it. Well, imagine that. There's a lot of things that this country is not ready for. This country was not ready for the sin that's been put upon it. It's not ready for the economic disaster that's come upon it. It's not. But when are you ready for that kind of stuff? And so, you know, I saw a map here in off the news articles today. And, you know, they say worldwide about 2 billion people are at risk of Zika, but they show that, you know, in the being that we're getting into summer, spring's got another month or two, it's starting to heat up. I've talked to some of our brothers back east, and, you know, they've already been warm. Warm and wet, rainy down in Louisiana, Houston, Florida, Georgia, Atlanta, even Oklahoma and Kansas, Nebraska. Our brother Tim over in Nebraska said they've been just, you know, wet rain, hail and rain. And so there's rain hitting everywhere in the country. And you think, well, that's good. That's good. Well, it's good for the crops. It's good for the people to have water. It's good for wildlife. It's good for cattle. It's good for the greening up. It's also good for mosquitoes. And so now there's this Zika virus that's coming in on mosquitoes, and we're going into mosquito season. Okay? How about that? Now, this Aedes aegypti mosquito also spreads yellow fever, dengue virus, and chikungunya virus. And you might think, well, you know, again, there's some, that's third world stuff. You know, dengue virus, dengue fever, and chikungunya virus and things like that. But guess what? We're seeing them in the States. We're seeing them here in our country, especially down south. There have been several small outbreaks of dengue fever. And then, again, because we have such a large whatever you want to call it, it's such an invasion going on, a migrant invasion, and these illegals come in and they bring their diseases with them. That's not racist, that's just a fact of life, like it or not. And this Zika virus is not only spread by mosquitoes, but it spreads sexually as well. Well, you know, not to go into details, but the way this society is going, certainly has the potential to spread this disease further and faster than just with the mosquitoes. You know, and then the birth defects. And see, that's where I think that in one of these articles I've got it here somewhere talks about that the birth defects that this causes, because many times the symptoms are light, you know, flu-like symptoms, sore throat and aches and pains and that type thing. And so it says here, because the number of travelers coming into the U.S. with Zika is very high, the temperatures are permissive now for mosquito transmission and populations of mosquitoes are growing. With rainy seasons coming on in Central America and the Caribbean, that would even increase the number of imported cases now. And they're seeing it in the islands in Puerto Rico. Read an article today, didn't print it out, but they talked about how it's been in Haiti since at least 2014. And so you think about this. Think about how many in the last several years, and you know it was in Haiti. It's been in Haiti for the last 10 years. It's just they're reporting it only since 2014. Well, you think of all the, say, for instance, the Americans that have gone down there and worked and helped and assisted the Haitians with rebuilding, could have contracted this disease and brought it back and not even known it. Not even known it. I like here what Emory University Dr. Raymond Shinazi says. It's not just enough to put signs in the airport. And you may say, well, you know, the symptoms aren't that bad, so what's the big deal? Well, let me get over to this part. The birth defects that Zika's is that are attributed to this disease. Let me see here. It's microcephaly is the name of it, and it's see if I can use the medical terminology instead of mine, and I don't see it. It's a congenital disease. It causes the baby's head to not develop properly. Okay? And so when this happens, it begins, but then usually there's brain damage associated with it from hardened brain tissue, calcifications, and the brain areas filling with fluid, and it's you see the pictures here, and it's heartbreaking. It absolutely is. It is. So you go back to why? Oh well, we needed $1.9 billion to develop a vaccine. Well, how about we cry out to God? How about we cry out to God if there's nothing we can do about it? At least there's nothing physically right now. They say a lot of these are misdiagnosed or not diagnosed immediately. A lot of newborns with microcephaly often act like other newborns, a little fussier, but as the child grows, they just don't develop properly. And, you know how it is, America. If it's not if it's not put out by ABC or CBS or whoever's out there putting the news out every day, it seems like most of Americans don't even know what's going on. But this is going on. It is an epidemic. It is growing down in South America. Now, this wasn't happening 5-10 years ago, but it's happening now. And it's coming to America. We are seeing more and more, not the one or two here, but we're seeing more and more, and there's no quarantines in place. There's nobody saying, oh, don't go down there. No, it's just business as usual. Again, Brazil, over 2,800 cases of Zika in pregnant women. They had it back in French Polynesia in 2013. And they estimated that 1% of the pregnant women there became infected with it. Let's see here. And I know, it's like, what are you doing talking about these statistics? What have they got to do with the Bible? Well, we're going to bring it back to that. I hope so anyway. I hope so. The epidemic appears to be on the wane in Rio, at least for now, researchers say. And again, you know why? Because you've seen these people out there spraying in these chemical suits all over the place, all over Rio, walking 6 or 8 wide spraying, and then out in the meadows and all. So yeah, in downtown Rio, just like in China when they held the Olympics there not too long ago, it was so foggy, so there was so much smog there you could not breathe. I remember seeing a couple news reports of the reporters there trying to give reports, and they looked like they were being attacked with chemical warfare. Their faces are breaking out. Their tears are running down their face. We're live here from Beijing, and pardon the look of mustard gas on my face, but it's business as usual here. They were dying out there because of the smog, because those people don't care about the earth or the air that you have to breathe. And it's like that down there in Brazil. Go ahead and spray the DDT. Who cares if it wipes out half the population of the rainforest? We won't have the Zika virus in Rio for the Summer Olympic Games, so we can bring everybody down for Rio and Carnival and make the money and sin. The other thing is that when the Summer Olympic Games start here, when it's summertime here, down in Brazil, it's winter. And so, sure, the epidemic is on the wane because they're cooling off down there. That just as we're warming up, they're cooling off. And so, and I guess I mention all this because it looks good on paper. Zika is virtually disappearing from Rio. Nielsen said, who's this Nielsen here, one of the researchers, we think by August there'll be little Zika circulating in Brazil. And they say, oh, that's my perception as well. It's on the way out. We don't have a problem. You know, other than the mosquitoes, they bite the monkeys down there that are in the jungle a whole lot. And the monkeys, they don't get a shot. And they live where the mosquitoes die, and the next year the next mosquitoes come back and they bite the same monkey, and the monkey's a carrier. And they continue on with it. Well, it's coming here, folks. It's coming here. It really is. And I mention this to you not to scare you, not to frighten you, but to make you aware. That's what we try to do here at this ministry, is to try to make you aware, to try to open your eyes. You know, what was it the pastor used to say? The old cowboy saying is, you know, it's not so much what we don't know, it's what we don't know that just ain't so. And so many of us here just don't know. And then a lot of the things that we do know, it just, you know, we know they ain't so. We know that although the news media will tell you this Zika, there's nothing to worry about. You know, back in January, I did a little thing on the scriptural review of the news, talked about this, had some graphs and pictures, and I remember I had a world map, and it showed where Zika was, where they had confirmed it was in January of this year. And, you know, it was South America and a couple a couple Middle Eastern countries and a couple way out in the that French, what, oh, French Polynesia area. Yeah, out there. Well, I saw a new map. Half the world's covered now, just in a few months. But it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Go back to your Budweiser and your Broncos and whatever it may be. Well, be aware of it, Remnant. Be aware. Okay? That's what you need to do. You need to be aware. Got Psalms 93. Let's just go there and read that. I've got some of it highlighted out here that I wanted to talk, but you know, we've got a minute here. Let's just read Psalms 93. And you know, if I'd have planned ahead, I could have had the. We've got it. I think by Carl Klein, we've got the song. I could have had that ready. Do I have it over here? I probably do. We can just read it. I like reading. Well, let's better yet, let's pray it, because that's what it is. It's a promise. It's a prayer. That when the Zika virus comes, or when the communists want to come, or whatever it is, that God gives hope. That's what the gospel story is, isn't it? This is not, this is, you could call it the gospel. It's the good news. The Psalms are certainly good news. They're good news for the righteous. No, it's bad news for the wicked. Don't forget that. Psalms 91. Let's take a look. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With a long life I will satisfy Him, and let Him see my salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, boy, there's enough in there to take us about the next 3 or 4 weeks here on this Thursday night program for sure. But remember, it starts out and it says, who? Who is this for? Is this for everybody? No, it's not. I should have given you a little time to think about that, huh? Before I just answered it for you. But it's not. It's for he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That person will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's to those that say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This is for those that trust in Him. So for those that trust in Him, believe, yes. That's the first step. For those that believe and obey. For those that believe and trust. You know, if you trust that there's electricity in that wall socket, then your behavior will be such that you won't stick anything metal in there, other than like an electrical plug. You won't be sticking a butter knife or a pocket knife in there. Why? Because you just believe? Well, yeah, because you believe, and then there's some trust, and then there's some actions that go along with that. And it is He, verse 3 says, who delivers you from the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. That's who does it. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for your protection, Lord, as we return to you. As we return to you, O Lord, in loving kindness. Lord, as we return to you for your loving kindness. Lord, as we return to you in humility, in humbleness, Lord, in all sincerity. Confessing our sins, sighing and groaning out, Lord, at the abominations that are in the land, in this once Christian land. Lord, praying and pleading to you to open the eyes of your people while it is still day, Lord. While there is still work to do, and while we can still work, Lord, open their eyes. Let them see what's going on in the land, Lord, and let them put that desire in them to return to you, Lord, so that you can protect them from the deadly pestilence that's just around the corner, from the arrows, Lord, and the hand of all who hate us. We cry out to you, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. One of my most favorite parts, that's probably not proper English, but one of my favorite parts of Psalms 91 is verse 5. It says, you will not be afraid. And then it goes on and lists some things that you won't be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow, or the pestilence, or the destruction. You will not be afraid. And see, folks, when you are not afraid, not when you're proud and haughty, but when you're not afraid because you've bowed before the King of Kings. And you know, Pastor used to have looking at the broadcast rack here, Pastor had a little saying up here for years and years, and it said, if you can bow before God, you can stand before any man. And we do. We bow before the King of Kings. We recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you know, we have to recognize him not just on Sunday morning, but in everything we do. During the week, when maybe sickness comes, maybe wrecks or accidents, disappointments, whatever it may be, we trust in him. We trust in him to get us through. We trust in him knowing that if we love him, Romans 8:28 says he works it all for good. All of it, no matter what. Our failures, our successes, he works it for good if we love him. You will not be afraid. So if you have a thought that comes into your mind, and it's a thought of being afraid, a fearful thought, recognize that thought for what it is. This is a little off subject, but it comes to mind, so I think I've got a few minutes here. Maybe we can get through this. Jesus Christ came. He said, I came to bring life, and that life abundantly. So recognize when you have that life and that life abundantly, when you're praising him, when you're thankful to him, when you're walking in sunshine, so to speak, the birds are chirping, the grass is green, the snow is melting. Remember that life and life abundant comes from Christ, comes from God Almighty. And rejoice in that. Be thankful for that. Now recognize also that when thoughts come, and you know, folks, you might not have the thoughts, but you need to be able to recognize it in your children. You need to be able to recognize it in your spouse, in your friends, in your family, in your loved ones. But when the thoughts or the words or the actions or the deeds come that are not of that life and life abundant, when thoughts of death come, or thoughts of destruction come, cuttings, and that's just rampant in our society today. Recognize that for what it is. And it may not be anything even that drastic, or it might be a lot more drastic than that. There's both sides of that coin. You know, it may just be people talking about death or destruction, suicide, those type things. Those are from the evil one. Those are not thoughts from Christ of life and life abundantly. Those are thoughts of those that come to steal, kill, and destroy. The murderer, that liar from the way back, that we have power over. Verse 13, you will tread upon the lion and cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. And the footnote for serpent is dragon. That dragon of old. See, he has been made an enemy. He has been put under our footstool, I guess would be the more appropriate thing to say. Our enemy is there. We have conquered because Christ has conquered him. And so recognize those thoughts. Recognize those actions. When you look at the way it seems this country is going today, you can't help but sigh and groan out and cry out to God. Because we see that it's embracing immorality. That it seems like most of society they push God away. They call these alternative lifestyles, and they're not lifestyles, they're death styles. They do not bring that joy. Your joy is not made full in these death styles that are promoted by the world. And in this cross-dressing and transgendering and confusion. That's not the abundant life and the joy that Christ promised in his word. And that he gives freely to those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High, that abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Anyway, just a side note, recognize those things. Recognize those thoughts, those spirits, if you will, whatever you want to call them. But recognize them for what they are and who they come from. I like verse 11. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. To guard you in all your ways. And you know, folk, parents, especially fathers, I hope you pray this way. You know, it's hard to read the scripture or come out here to the radio booth and not think of our pastor and the things that he taught us. And he taught us, you know, to visualize our prayers. That, you know, when you pray for protection on your family, you can pray for an angelic host and see it in your mind's eye. See, you can see an angelic host surrounding your family with their backs to your family and their shields and swords by their side and their shoulder to shoulder, and they're facing out, looking at the enemy, looking out for the enemy, guarding your family, protecting them, saying nothing gets through here. No evil shall pass. And you know, fathers that dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, fathers, men that say, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, we have, as it says, he gives his angels charge concerning us. You know, when family or friends or loved ones are traveling and we pray for them, you know, we pray those angels to be above them and below them and beside them and around them to guide their way and direct their paths. And you know what? They do. We have to remember that. They do. Just because we don't see it with our physical eye, we can sure pray it on, and we should do that. We should visualize when we pray and see that happening. You know, there have been reports, stories, you might say, of people being able to see, evil people being able to see the angels guarding God's people at different times. Don't have time to get into that tonight. Didn't print any out. But I know I've read them. I don't know that I've seen them physically, but I've certainly seen them spiritually. I've prayed for them, and then I've seen those prayers answered because of them. Those are good faith builders. Those are good reminders that you will not be afraid of the terror by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, of the destruction that lays waste at noon. It won't approach you. You will only look on and see with your eyes. You'll see the reward that the wicked get. And you know, that day fast approaches. That day of reward, that harvest that the Bible talks about. You go back and read in Matthew the parable of the tares and the wheat. That is an end time, an end days prophecy that draws closer every day. That time of harvest fast approaches because the tares and the wheat, they are being separated. They are, by their actions, by their deeds, by who they stand up for, what they stand up for, what they don't. Verse 15 of Psalms 91 says, "He will call upon me, and I will answer him." I will be with him in distress or in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And so, when it says, "He will call upon me," that means we will call upon him. And he will answer us. But you know, there's something that prevents that. There's a couple somethings, actually. There's something that prevents us from calling on him. Several things, actually. You know, one of those things is not knowing him. We have maybe full second or third generation in this nation that just don't know God. They don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of this Bible. They don't know Jesus Christ, the great I Am, who was in the beginning, who was with Moses and the children in the Red Sea, who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down in the fiery furnace. Who came and walked on this earth as a man and who faced every temptation yet did not yield to it. Who loved me and you and them so much that he willingly gave up his life. That he got to the point that he said, "Father, I know what's coming. And if you can take this cup from me, if you can prevent me from having to do it, that's what I want." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." See, our people, so many of our people don't know Jesus today. They don't. They might know of some hippie, long-haired, hippie, sandal-wearing, dope-smoking, love-everybody, sloppy, agape, love, coming back to just have peace on earth and lifelong Woodstock, man. They might think they know of something like that, but that's not the God of the Bible that says in Malachi, "I change not." That's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's not. And so one reason that this verse isn't fulfilled is that we will call upon him as our people don't know him. And then, unfortunately, many that do know him, they call upon him and it says, "I will answer him," but many times he doesn't. And that's because sin is in the life of the person. And sin comes between us and God. That's why he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to redeem us, to bring us back into that relationship so that when we do call upon him, he can answer. But you know, if you have full, flagrant, unrepentant sin in your life, God can't answer your prayer. And he doesn't. But when you repent, and you can call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you can repent. It's a little more than saying just a sinner's prayer. You can believe, you can obey, you can repent, which means change. stop going down that, stop living on that sin street, and get over on the repentance road. How about that? Then when you call upon him, he will answer you, and he will be with you in trouble, and he will rescue you and honor you. Well, wow, we're about out of time, aren't we? Didn't even get to open the phone lines up. Sorry about that, folks. Well, we'll sure have the phone lines open Saturday morning for coffee. We'll do our best to do that, and I don't think the weather is going to be too bad there. Well, thanks for joining us here on 7x70. It's one of the many programs we have here at Scriptures for America. If you go to our network website, sfawbn.com, you can see the whole schedule there. You can see the many programs we have. We have the James McCanney Science Hour. We have the Classic Truths. You can join Jason on Tuesday nights for Gideon's Armory. Wednesday nights, of course, the Wednesday night prayer meeting and the Hope is Alive program following that. And then, of course, Saturday morning, coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we invite you to join us there this Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And then, of course, our church services on Sunday morning. We broadcast those live from the LaPorte Church of Christ, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, and that's 11 a.m. Central and noon Eastern. And so we do invite you to come to church with us. It's important that you do that. You can get, well, what fellowship you can. If you don't have Christian fellowship in your area, and you can partake of communion and hopefully be edified. Well, we are out of time. Wow. Well, thanks again for joining us. And hey, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. And if you want to send an email, preacher@sfaw.org.